Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11, and I would like to preach this whole chapter. I would like to. We're just going to take and read a couple of verses to you in John chapter number 11. And I believe it'll be in line with, matter of fact, until I struggled with knowing what the will of God, mind of God was in my own heart for this hour until Brother Petty started preaching. And then I thought, and that may not make sense to you once I'm through. You may say there's no alignment at all, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes God will just give you peace. And when he started talking about the word, and his both men today and all the men this week, the love for the word has been coming forth. And I'm glad that even though our styles can be different and our personalities can be different, I think that's the one thing that draws us together is the word of God. Amen. And I sure appreciate all that we've heard. I'll be reading verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." It must have been interesting to have in your life the Lord Jesus, the Word who became flesh, the God-man that we've already heard preached about. I mean, life changed dramatically for everybody who actually got to be in his presence and experience his person. I mean, he busted up every funeral he ever came across. Nobody stayed blind around Jesus. Nobody stayed lame around Jesus. Nobody even stayed a leper around Jesus. The most dreaded disease of probably the time. They would separate and alienate them out of society. And then, on top of just having the experience of seeing him operate, Zacchaeus climbed up the tree. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. And the experience of him walking about and doing the things that he was doing. Then there were people who were intimate with him. There were those who were his friends. If we are to read and understand the scriptures correctly, this family of Mary and Martha and Lazarus weren't just passing acquaintances. They didn't just attend his meetings. If I'm to understand the Bible correctly, they became intimate friends with him. And he had spent time in their home, not just this one time, but he knew them and was well acquainted with them. And so having known God, or having met Jesus and having known him and had him as a friend, it's understandable why in this passage things go very quickly toward being frustrating for Mary and Martha. Here they're frustrated by the distance. The Bible said they had to send to him. He's not close by. And I thought about how frustrating it is when we feel like God's nowhere around. How frustrating it is when we feel like we call and we cry out and God's nowhere to hear our cry. And maybe he's not moving as quickly as we'd like him to, and it seems like we're separated by a great distance. Thought about how frustrating it is when there was a delay. The Bible said when he had heard that he abode 2 days, yet beyond even the time that he heard, Lazarus was sick. Can I say that it gets frustrating for us when God doesn't work on our timetable? You can take your halos off this morning and agree with me that a lot of us wish God would work sooner rather than later. We don't mind God taking his time when it's someone else's peril. We don't mind saying, "Brother, we'll pray for you." And we sincerely mean it when somebody else is dealing with a catastrophe in life. But somehow our situations are emergent. Somehow what we're going through requires the immediate attention of God. And God doesn't need to wait. God doesn't need to drag his feet. God needs to answer me in that right early. How frustrating it is when there's a delay. I thought about how frustrating it is when there's a disappointment. They said, "Thou, he who thou lovest is sick." Can you imagine how it must have been when Lazarus gets a sickness unto death and he's the friend of Jesus? I mean, it's not like he just knows the best doctor in town. We already know the physicians can deal with people and take all their money and still, after 12 years, leave them worse than they found them. The very best physicians that the Bible has to offer. But Jesus has never met a case that he didn't fix. Jesus never made a case that he didn't reverse, that he didn't turn around, that he didn't make the situation better. And by and large, that's our experience with God. It is better living for God. I mean, we've got it better than anybody on planet Earth because of what God has done in and through our lives. We're thankful that one day we met the great physician. And it gets frustrating for us sometimes and disappointing when it seems like bad, bad things happen to good people. Somebody said, why? Somebody said, I'm preaching a series on why good things happen or bad things happen to good people. Somebody said Calvary's the reason good things happen to bad people. Amen. And they've rightly said that. But I thought about the disappointment that Lazarus would even catch a cold, little less be sick unto death. He's the friend of God. I mean, this is somebody that the Lord cares about. And it gets disappointing in our lives. Do you feel the frustration with me this morning? And then I thought about, what about when it goes from being frustrating to fatal? How do we respond? How do we handle it when things do not have the end that we anticipate? Where is our faithfulness match up? I mean, sometimes it takes us months and weeks and years really to get back to a place where we can sing, oh, how I trust Jesus. Because I thought about the Hebrew children's experience. Can you imagine? He brought them through, but the Bible said that he brought them through with a great deliverance, said not even a hair on their head was singed. See, if a hair on their head had been singed, they'd say, God made it through, but man, that was close. Amen? But he brought them through, and God will make a great deliverance. But a lot of times we're complaining and we're all put in our faith because we didn't like how far it got. Lazarus died. Amen? He's no longer on the church visitation list. He's not somebody the preacher's got to go check on in a hospital room. He's dead. And your life gets turned upside down when things go from frustrating to fatal. I thought about death and disaster and divorce and destruction and devastation and all the things that hit, and there is no coming back. There is no ease. And how many people have I sat across the room from in pastoring that I've had to say, may God give you comfort in this hour, and I really don't have words sufficient to try to ease the pain that they're going through because their life has just been turned upside down by something that's not going to be fixed. Divorce papers have been signed, and I understand outside of that. And I'm going to tell you how foolish I have been as a young preacher. I remember showing up in a room and driving 4.5 hours away to go minister to a man. They said he's going to die. He's lost without God. Will you go see him? And I drove, Brother Bain, I drove 4.5 hours to the hospital to get there, and I'm running up the room, and I get in that hospital room after going through elevators and many different floors, and they meet me 30 feet from the room, and they go, we lost him about 30 minutes ago. Brother, I want to just tell you what was in my heart. I wanted to see that man go to heaven so bad. I went in that room. I'm just telling you. And I said, God, this man doesn't need to go to hell. But the only way he's going to heaven is if you resurrect him. Now, you did it before. Are y'all looking at me like I've got a third eye? But I'm like, the only comfort this family's going to have, I've got to go back out and face them. And I did my dead level best. I did all that I could do. But God, if this man's not going to go to hell, I need you to do something that I can't do. Brother, I'm telling you, there's been too many times that I've sat across the room from people who are facing heartache and heartbreak that I don't have an answer for. I mean, it's went from frustrating to fatal. And it's hard to explain what in the world is going on. And it's in the life of the children of God. We don't just know about God. We know the God of heaven who created the whole world. And we expect that he will do what we ask him to do. We always want it to be his will to fix our problem. We want it to be his will to ease the pain that we're going through. And I thought about this text one day, and I thought about how as we open John chapter 11 and go from the beginning to the end, we all of a sudden begin to align it with our human experience. We begin to look in this story and find the hope that we want for us. Lazarus is alive by the end of the chapter. And we want that to be the outcome. We want things to get better. And if we are so carnal, and I've got so much that I want to say about, the Bible said that one of the marks of this day that we'll be lovers of ourselves. And I really believe that we are in such a self-promoting day and age in society that we don't even know how self-involved we really are. I'm talking about it's ingrained in our children that they're to be the preeminent, they're to be the most important, they're to be the champion all the time. Guess what? I'm not always the smartest. Hey, listen, I take pleasure in the fact I'm not always the biggest. A majority of the time, that is not the case. But we're different sizes, we're different shapes, we come from different backgrounds, we have different talents, we have different skill levels. This world is not made about any one particular person that I would ever be preaching to or experience in real life, because this world is about the one that Brother Petty has preached about. It was all created for him and by him, and by him all things consist. But we are so enveloped in the human experience and what is our desire. And please understand, if you know me at all, you know I'm careful about being critical. I don't want to be offensive. But I've thought about, we take this chapter, we take these truths from the Bible, and we write songs like this. When he's 4 days late, isn't it great that he's still on time? Now, I like the song. But I began reading this one day, and I began to think, boy, that's awful self-enveloped. To be so presumptuous that you would ever form the words that say God was late. We're okay because of what the ending says. Well, isn't it great that he's still on time? In other words, we're okay with this particular chapter of the Bible because it has a happy ending. We're okay with the difficulties that we're about to be presented because even though God was running behind, even though God happened to be slow this particular day, it all turned out all right. And all of a sudden, we feel good about John chapter number 11. All of a sudden, we can relate to it because if we would be honest, we like us. I like me. You go waving a gun around this morning, you're going to find out I like me. There's not many people I can hide behind. And so I'm going to do my dead level best to convince them they need to shoot you. I do not want to get shot. Why? Because I like me. The one time I believed God would resurrect somebody, he didn't, so it doesn't seem to be his pattern. I don't want to get shot. Guess what? You like you. And I'm convinced we don't realize how much we like ourselves. We get involved in ministries and we say we want God to use us. We want God to have his way in our life. I'm not sure we do. Because we do as long as everything is going good. And God is so gracious. Most of the time he does. I said the other day, God showed me a man was going through trial, and he said, God is faithful. Brother, it was a good day when I realized that I wasn't creating truth by saying those words. I was just catching up with truth. God was faithful before my situation ever turned around. God was faithful before it ever got back on track with something I could live with. God was still faithful before things ever turned back to the good way. Are you hearing me? God's been faithful. He can't be anything other than faithful. And He will work together for the good, all things to the good. We don't believe Romans 8:28 as much as we'd like to convince ourselves we believe it. Amen? We are so self-enveloped. And we want it to work out good. And we're okay with God being late as long as He shows up. You know? Good for us. Doesn't that sound real spiritual? God, we didn't mind you running behind. Amen. Let's shout. Lazarus is alive. Lazarus is resurrected. Things turned out okay. And we worship you because of that. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes left on that's what God was doing. One of the things that happens with the scriptures that we don't take full advantage of is these stories aren't meant to relate to our human experience, make us feel better about the life that we live, and it'll be okay, and things will get better, and the sun will shine. The scriptures is clearly the Word of God, the will of God manifest on these pages is what God is doing. And we really don't have any say-so about it. There aren't any pages in the back of my Bible still college rule lined. Add what you like. Improve. It's one of the reasons we're King James Bible people. We don't believe that you can just pick and choose and improve and pull out what you don't like and put in what would be better suited to you. And one of the things that I appreciate about the Word of God, and especially as God has dealt with me in John chapter number 11, is I have the opportunity to look at something Lazarus didn't have, something Mary and Martha didn't have. They didn't have the Word of God telling their story. They were where we're at. They were experiencing it. That's why they were frustrated. That's why they weren't happy with the circumstances of his sickness. That's why they said, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. He says, well, I'm going to go do something about it. Yeah, but he stinks. Our whole situation stinks, Lord, just to be honest. We say that to the Lord a lot of times. But God has allowed us the privilege of seeing their story through the heart and mind of God. And we are short-selling ourselves just to walk away saying when he's late, at least he shows up. We have the scriptures to tell us exactly what God was doing in John chapter 11. Let me give you these things. First of all, he was wanting faith to work. God is working in the lives of his children because he wants faith to work. Verse number 15, the Bible said, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He's looking at his disciples, and he is desiring to elicit their faith. They have already exercised their faith in believing in him. They're following him. They're with him. They're going everywhere he's going. They're the faithful on the earth. All that is faithful is following him at this time. And he said, this situation is to make your faith work, to get your faith active, that you may believe more than you already believe. I'm thankful that you believe in following me. But he said, I'm doing this work for your benefit and not for your harm. Aren't you glad to know that what we are going through and what we have in the human experience, whether it's your trouble or whether it's your trouble or whether it's the trial, Brother Zach, that you mentioned, or the sorrows, Sister Deborah, that you're going through, aren't you glad that there is a work of God that's being done to help the body of the believers exercise their faith? I have watched while other people have gone through, and my faith has been strengthened because God has worked in their lives. And God does care about that. He just wants our faith to work. He said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? He is looking for people who will keep the faith. He's trying to elicit faith in verse 15. Then we see he's trying to enlarge faith in verse 21. Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But look what she said in verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. He goes through and he tells her that he's the resurrection. He says, but I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She goes from believing that he could only have helped that he had got there to believing that he can do it now. Are you following me? Her faith has enlarged. God has allowed these things to happen in her life that her faith may go from just believing if he had been present, he could have done something, to just accepting the fact that he's God and he can do something now. Amen? So God's trying to elicit faith. God's trying to enlarge our faith. God, in verse number 45, is trying to engage faith. There are those unbelieving that are watching our lives. There are those around us who are unsaved. Verse number 45 said, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. People who had not believed heretofore are now believers. They're leaving change because of this experience. So you can take courage this morning, child of God. God is working in your life. See, we're unsatisfied because we judge it based on the outcome, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, whether it was just frustrating or whether it was fatal. But can I say, God works in all the aspects of our life, and somebody's watching, and there's other people around, and it's not all about us, and God is just trying to get faith to work. Whether he's eliciting it in his believers, or whether he's enlarging it in someone's faith who's waning, or whether he's engaging it in an unsaved person. God is just operating so that faith works. He gave us the gift of faith. He wants us to be saved. It's not his will that any should perish. It's not his will that we should faint. It's his will that we should be people of faith. And what he is doing, he's operating in such a way that faith will work. I'm rushing through these, okay? Not only that, God is operating so that his favor is witnessed. See, I had to look at this and understand that just because his favor is witnessed, it's still not about us. God has blessed us so much, we're spoiled. God has been so good to us, we are fooled into thinking it's about us. Hello? I know God. You don't think I know God? Just let me tell you some things that he's done for me. I remember a time, I can't tell stories. I ain't got time to tell stories. Y'all want to go to lunch. But I can tell you a story where God was moving in our life. I had surrendered to a particular work God was calling to me at that time. And we'd went on deputation, and I was going to raise support. And I'd been to six churches. All six churches had taken me on. And I come home that night, and I told Kim, I said, we're both quitting our jobs this week. She said, what did they take you on for? And I said, maybe $50 a month. And at that time, all six churches we'd presented at, all six churches, I had 100% of the churches I had presented to. And it equaled $400 a month. And I come home and I said, baby, we're both quitting our jobs tomorrow. We're going into this full-time work in the will of God. She goes, what? She said, well, how are we going to live? What are we going to get? Checks from heaven? And nobody knew that but me and her. I don't have time to tell you all the details. But on the very week that I worked my notice at my job, she worked her notice at her job. The facility administrator at the jail that I was praying about going in to be a chaplain to, he called me up and he said, could you use $8 an hour? I said, could I use it? Man, I'll take anything. Huh? If you just want to give me pencils and lollipops, I'll take those. At this point, I mean, we just take whatever you give us. And he said, well, we're going to put it on the books like you're a guard, but I want you to be my chaplain. And he said, we're going to pay you $8 an hour to be the guard chaplain. And I said, air quote all you want, brother. That's an answer to prayer. But that was still about $3,200 a month less than what we needed. My pastor calls me the same day. He says, I need you to stop by the church. He passed an envelope across the table. And there was a family had written, the same family, had written one check for about $750 and another check for about $830 and had written them to me. And in the memo line, it said, from heaven. I'm not even speaking evangelistically. I'm not making that up. Are you hearing me? Matter of fact, I'm almost ashamed because of where my faith stays on a regular basis that I have that story to tell. Because I should be a faith giant. Because we did get checks from heaven. And when that ministry dried, or when God moved and changed and it dried up, without even announcing it to those people, they were faithful. We got anywhere from $1,500 to $800 every month that God had us doing that work from that same family. Tried to thank them one time. I wrote them a letter and I said, I want to thank you. I don't even know how you know about us. I don't know how God put us on your heart. He wrote me back. He said, please do not write me again. I am doing what God told me to do. You keep doing what God told you to do. Don't try to find me. Don't try to figure this out. That's what he said. God, in the disasters of our life, is working to get faith to work. Whether it's in our lives or the lives of others, God is operating so that faith can work. I was preaching the second point. He doesn't mind his favor being witnessed in our lives. We know that he doesn't mind his favor being witnessed by what was remarked. He said, verse number 11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. We know he cared about Lazarus because of what he had said. We don't have to be worried whether God cares about us or not, because he said a whole lot about how he feels about us. God has not hidden from this world what he feels about us. God has not held back his tongue from revealing to this world how he feels about me and you. He's angry with the wicked every day, but the Lord's people are precious jewels in his sight. He cares about me and you. He doesn't mind revealing his favor. We know he spoils us. He loves me like I was his only child. We know his favor is witnessed by what is said in his remark. But then we see his favor is witnessed in what was sensed, as we see his remorse in verse 35. Jesus wept. How about God? Hopefully it'll change, revolutionize the way you look at that verse that says he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Standing on a green hillside somewhere, God's going in. When our hearts are breaking, God's head is bowing. When we feel like we can't bear it, he's there bearing it with us. Oh, though
those tears did not fix the problem. Those tears didn't remedy the situation. But the whole world looked and they said, God's crying on their behalf. He sure must love them. He sure must care about them. And God weeps when we weep, and He mourns when we mourn. He cares about us, thank God. And it's not only stated, but it's sensed. I mean, you can just tell. Why do you think this world's in the shape that it's in? It's because God is mourning with the work of God. He's mourning with the people of God, the wicked state of our world. It grieves the heart of God where we're at. Those kids were killed senselessly. You don't think God was over the banisters of heaven saying, I wish people would get right with me. Those innocent lives are being taken because of the ungodly. His favor was witnessed by what He said. It was witnessed by what they sensed. Then it was witnessed by what they saw. Verse 43 and verse 44. If anybody ever had any doubts how he felt about Lazarus before, they're over now. Because he's out there going, Lazarus! He's doing something he's never done before and he'll never do again. Hello? I mean, I know he interrupted other funerals and I know he raised other people from the dead, but he never called anybody according to the Scriptures by name. Lazarus has been out there 4 days, and there's a whole lot I can say right there about what the Jews believed about that 4-day death period, but he's standing out there and before everybody, he's saying, "Not, hey, mister! We think God forgot about us. Hey. Hey, you! No, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And before everybody, it's witnessed that he did something for Lazarus. Now, it's an amazing thing. They're going to have another funeral for Lazarus, and it's not going to turn out this way. What are you going to do then? Huh? I mean, we shout when God is good. We ought to shout when it don't turn out like we like it. He's still willing to do for us what he's not doing for anybody else. His favor has been witnessed over and over and over again in our life. He's wanting faith to work. He's wanting favor to be witnessed. But there is a vital work. And I'm hurrying, Brother Tim. I'll be through. There is an emphasis placed on one thing in all of this that is the priority. And if we miss it, we spend our lives struggling to understand and saying things like, why is God letting this happen to me? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Mary, Martha, Lazarus never had the opportunity to read these chapters, read these verses, but we do. And we're responsible for gleaning from them the truth about what God's work really was in this situation. He wanted faith to work. He wanted his favor to be witnessed. But most of all, more than anything, he was fulfilling the will of God. It was bigger than Mary, who loved to sit at his feet. It was bigger than Martha, who loved to serve him. It was bigger than Lazarus, who was his friend. Make no mistake about it, from verse number 1, all the way to verse number 57, Jesus had come to do the will of God. And it was the priority whether they felt good about it. It was the priority whether they liked it. It was the priority whether they had even an inkling of what really was going on. Now, I know that's not what you come to hear today. You didn't come to hear that God's going to do what He wants to do regardless of how it affects me. But I want to tell you something. The truth about it is God's going to do whatever He wants to do regardless of how it affects you. And I think somehow we ought to adopt the idea that we're just thankful He's working. Watch these things. This is where I get the message. That's what God was doing. Look with me in verse number 42. And I knew that thou hearest me always. He's praying before the Father. But because of the people that stand by, I said it. Watch these last words. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. It was necessary for Jesus to be identified. God is working all of this so that they can hear Him pray this prayer and know who sent Him. Amen? He is putting on a badge of identification standing on that hillside that afternoon. I am He that was sent from the Father. I am He that has come to do the will of my Father. All of a sudden, the situation that Mary and Martha and Lazarus are in loses dim sight because God is standing in before the whole world. He's being identified as the agent of God. It's not about somebody getting sick. It's not about a funeral. It's not about my feelings. But God is saying all this is being done so they know who I am. So they know that I'm not a Johnny come lately. I'm not even a good prophet or a good teacher. I am the one that has been sent from God. He has come that He might be identified. Not only that, look with me in verse number 57. This was mind-blowing to me. I ain't got time to preach all this. I'm just giving you highlights. You can dig it out, preach it yourself. Amen. Verse number 57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment. After he's performed this resurrection, if any man knew where he were, he should show it. Look at those last words in our chapter. That they might take him. I don't have time to preach it all, but do you know that on the Messiah's coming soon checklist that the Jews had, at this point in Jesus' ministry, there was only one thing He hadn't done in the presence of the Jews that the Messiah had to do. Man, come on now. Y'all can't be running this far behind this late in the day. I know you're hungry. But there is a checklist of the things that the Messiah would do in public ministry that would 100% identify that He was the prophesied Messiah of God. He would heal leprosy. He would open the blinded eye. I mean, I don't have time to go into all the things, but there was only one unchecked box on Caiaphas's list. And I don't believe, I don't know, it's possible Caiaphas himself was there that day. But whether he was or not, he had agents. There were Jews that reported back to him that day. And when Lazarus came out of that tomb, he says, I got to get back and tell Caiaphas. We're in big trouble. This thing's worse than we thought. I mean, he's done all the other things on the chat. I mean, who knew we were going to show up today and he was going to do the last thing? I thought we were just coming to a funeral. I was just coming to pay my respects to Mary and Martha. And here Jesus has shown up and He has done the very last thing that He needed to do to prove that He could be no other. Watch this. He's been identified in verse number 42. But do you know that God was doing what He was doing in Lazarus' life that He might be crucified? Y'all aren't getting it. In effect, Jesus has this decision to make. I can say, Lazarus, come forth, and it signs my death warrant. Or we can just have a funeral. Are y'all following me? They hate Him, they despise Him, but He's not crucifiable yet. But when He looks over that hillside and He says, Lazarus, come forth, He knows. Oh, bless His dear name. He knows that what He's doing for mankind in small is really leading Him to His death. So that He can do a far greater work for humanity. Oh,
I wish that'd sink in to you this morning. He's not doing a small... To us, it just looks like we're in trouble. We need God to deliver, but God has got a bigger work going on. God has got a bigger plan so that he might be identified, so that he might be crucified. That's what he was doing. Let me read one more and I'm done. Verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Isn't that amazing? You say, I spent all of chapter number 11 trying to figure out why God let this happen. Well, he told us in verse number 4. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He needed to be identified. He needed to send the message, "I'm come from God." He had to be crucified. Otherwise, we'd all died and went to hell. He had to be crucified. But I'm glad carrying that cross is not the last way we see our Savior. I'm glad they don't have the upper end of this thing saying, "Boy, y'all lost." Because the next time we see him, he won't be wearing a crown of thorns. He'll be wearing a royal diadem. And I know the outcome of all of the human story, all of the human experience, is if we'll just press on, there's coming a day when we're going to crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And the end of the story is in our lives. The end of what he talked about, the eons and eons that we can't even measure with human time. It's all going to be about that the Son of God might be glorified. That he might be exalted in all. Hey, John wept because there was none found worthy to open the book, loose the seals thereof. But thank God one of the elders piped up, said, "Weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof." Later there, John said, "I heard them sing a new song, saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and power and blessing.'" We get bogged down with our human experience. We get bogged down with what it is that's troubling us. But if we'll step back and look at the pages of God's Word, we find out he's working in our lives whether it feels good or whether it don't. And all the end of it is that the Son of God might be glorified.